Good morning and welcome to our listeners, whether you're listening to us on WCHE 1520 or around the world on WCHE1520.com. This is the show called Speaking Of, and I'm Tom Kramer, as you know by now. This is the show where we talk to lots of interesting people, including actors and business people, nonprofits, authors, and so forth. And let's not waste any time in getting to today's guests. I say guests because we have two guests this morning. We are joined first by author and screenwriter whose book, A Million Dollar Mom, is being made into a feature film. And we also have Kevin Jameson, the president of the Dementia Society of America, Ross Schiffman, who is with us and is the author of the book, Million Dollar Mom, which I said is being made into a feature film. Gentlemen, good morning. Thank you for joining us on this Saturday morning. How are you?
Good, good. How are you?
We're doing great. It's good to have you both with us.
And hello.
How are you, Kevin? Good to have you.
Good here.
Good. Excellent. So we're going to spend a little bit of time talking, a lot of time talking about the movie and the book and how the book's becoming a movie and Ross's story. But I want to start from the beginning, Ross, and tell us where you're from and really why is family so important to you? Family's important to all of us, but your story is largely based on your relationship with your mother and thus family. So talk a little bit about your background and why family is so important to you, and then why the need to really get this story out there.
Sure. Well, I was born in Baltimore, Maryland, and when I was five, family moved to the Philadelphia area. I'm one of four boys, a mom and a dad, and always a dog. Family was really important to me and to my brothers and all. We're about 3 years apart. And my mom was really the focal point of our family. She was the organizer. She was the teacher. Dad was very helpful, but it was my mother that was the real impetus for the growth of our family and our education and how she cared for us and how she cared about other people and taught us how to care about other people. So that was a very important lesson in my life. As time went on, she and I were very involved in politics together, our synagogue. She started Parents Without Partners chapter, Bucksmont. She was head of the Soviet Jury Committee, their synagogue, and she taught English as a second language. And she also cared for her father, who lived with us towards the end of his life, and her elderly aunt. So she really taught me how to be
right.
a caregiver.
Right. And eventually, sort of fast forwarding a little bit, your mother got dementia. And Kevin, so Ross's mom had dementia, Alzheimer's. There are various types of dementia. My father had frontal temporal lobe dementia, which went into Alzheimer's eventually, which took his life. But what are some of the signs that someone's getting dementia? Because Ross was pretty close to his mom, and eventually, Ross, I'm sure you started to see signs just like I did. But Kevin, for people listening that may be experiencing this, what are some of the typical signs that someone would see?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having us on this call today, Tom, and your casting this net wide for people to learn. So, you know, the forms of dementia, as you mentioned, are many. And so the signs can be many as well. Sometimes it's memory. That's what most people associate with dementia, is a loss of memory. But in addition to that, you can also start out with behavioral changes or hallucinations or motor skill changes. And so mood changes, depression. So there can be a number of things that appear first that make it really difficult to know for sure what's going on, but you know there's something going on.
Right. I mean, sometimes I would think that people get, you know, geez, is my dad just getting older and senile, or does he have true dementia? And it's so hard. With us, it was sort of gradual things, you know, asking the same questions multiple times, getting lost, getting confused, and then eventually into hallucinations and so forth. But according, Kevin, to the 2017 Alzheimer's disease, some research that I uncovered and some facts and figures, Today, researchers estimate that 1 in 3 seniors will die with dementia, which was an incredibly high number. I felt like 33% sounded like an incredibly high number. And some of the stats, they say there may be a lack of reporting due to the stigma associated with dementia and Alzheimer's. Do you notice that there is a lack of potential reporting because there is a stigma associated with dementia?
Yeah, so first, Tom, thank you for citing that report. It's a very good report. But the one thing to make note of is that when we talk about the 1 in 3, that's people with something that they consider to be Alzheimer's. So there's a bigger world of people with dementia.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about it, dementia is the umbrella, and then there's the various forms of it, and Alzheimer's being one of them. So the Alzheimer's report and the statistics that they're quoting are really talking about Alzheimer's alone.
And Alzheimer's within that, though, Alzheimer's within that, I just wanted to mention, represents 60% of dementia cases. Is that correct?
That's right. That's exactly right. So if you think about it, there's, 5.5 million people estimated to have dementia that's of the Alzheimer's type today. But that is still only 60% of the larger number. So, the numbers are really much larger than Alzheimer's alone. So at the end of the day, no matter how it comes about, it's still a condition and a set of conditions that are challenging. And what Ross has done in helping to write the book and to talk about his personal experiences, is wonderful, and because it helps other people deal with it, and the stigma is reduced at that point when you can talk about something.
And Alzheimer's, it says, is the report that I read said, is the sixth leading cause of death in the U.S., which is an incredible statistic as well. I was shocked by that. How does your organization, to sort of stay with you for a minute, work with caregivers like Ross? And then, Ross, I want to talk to you about your caregiving experience, but how does your organization specifically work with caregivers?
So the Dementia Society of America exists to help people not only understand dementia, what it is, and the various forms of dementia that can exist. So that's kind of the first thing to know. Then when it comes to caregiving, people are oftentimes overwhelmed by the needs. They may have financial needs, legal needs, medical needs, supervision needs, technology needs, nutritional needs. So when somebody contacts us and they call us from all over the country in Canada, or send us emails, they go through social media, at the end of the day, what they're really looking for are helpful local resources that they can tap that are going to make their lives better so that they can make the lives of those with dementia better. And so we, as an organization, the Dementia Society of America, find out where folks live and what kind of things are going on. Do they have a diagnosis? If not, we try to help them find a neurologist. But if they have a neurologist having given them a dementia diagnosis of some kind, sometimes they know what it is, oftentimes they may not, then the next steps will be, financial, legal, care, in-home care, personal care, and we'll work around that person's zip code or wherever the person with dementia lives and try to help them to find local resources.
Right. It's great work that you guys do. And if people want to get to you, they can go to dementiasociety.org, dementiasociety.org. Ross, you were a fantastic caregiver to your mom, and she must have obviously meant a lot to you. You didn't have to write a book, and you didn't have to create a movie or a script for a movie to tell the story. But for all of us listening, what was your mom like? What made her so special and so compelling that you felt like you had to get the story out there?
Well, she was a remarkable person and a great. She was my greatest inspiration in my life, and so it's a way for me to honor her memory and to do something positive by telling her story and telling people and letting people know that people that are living with dementia are still the same people. They've got a damaged brain, but they still are the same kind of. They're still the same. It just certain personality problems and different things come up. But she, as I said, she did a number of things. I mean, in her younger years, she was a Spanish translator for the State Department during World War II. She took Spanish in junior high and high school, and when her family moved to Washington, she worked for the Office of Inter-American Affairs under Nelson Rockefeller. And she was very active in a lot of different organizations. Her mother was very similar in that way. And then her caring for other people, she lived a Jewish concept called tikkun olam, which means repairing the world. And when you think about it, repairing the world is a daunting task, but it's really done one person at a time. And Mother Teresa had a saying, there's no great things we do, only small things with great love. And how she helped other people, whether it was single moms and parents without partners, helping them get their degree, or newly arrived immigrants, teaching them English and helping them with their citizenship. And then when we cared for her dad and her aunt, I noticed something interesting. Her idea of caregiving was not just feeding somebody and watching them and keeping them healthy. It was also taking them to the same events the rest of the family was going to, and being involved in everything that was going on. I'll tell you this really quick story. My aunt would cut up her clothes and her pictures when she lived with us. So my mother hid the scissors. And Ed Rendell was the district attorney of Philadelphia, and he came out to a meeting, and he was giving a speech. And at one point, he asked for questions, and my aunt raised her hand and said, I want to find out who's stealing my scissors. And my mother pointed to herself, and Rendell kind of laughed and said, I'll get somebody working on it right away. But we kept her involved, and everybody in the group at that meeting knew my aunt because we would take her to these meetings. We kept the family members that had dementia. My aunt had dementia, but not Alzheimer's. It was a mild form. She was 95, but we kept her involved. And that was how I felt I had to do it for my mom when
right.
It was my time.
Right. A couple quick questions for you. Did your mom know that she had developed dementia?
No, but I think she suspected it. What I had to do, she didn't want to know, really, I think. I had to convince her to go to see a neurologist to get the memory test. And what I said is, we'll go to lunch afterwards. So she comes out of the meeting with the doctor, and I said, well, how did it go? She said, oh, fine. She was very nice, but she cheated. She had all the answers in front of her. So my mother was very perceptive of what happened, but she blew the test. She couldn't perform the
right.
test. So I think she knew. I never said anything
right.
to her, other than sometimes I would say, well, your brain isn't working as good today as it normally does.
Right. So,
and then just pass it off,
right.
you know.
So eventually you decide to write a book after your mother passes, which I want to talk about in one second, but I want to ask you a question before that, which was, you became the primary caregiver for your mother. How did your life change once you became the primary caregiver? And I guess you moved in with her, or I know you had a woman that came in, Nora, and helped you, but how did your life change? And then I want to ask a follow-up question to Kevin about caregivers.
Well, I lived with her from the time she was about 67, and she was diagnosed when she was 82. About when she was 79 or 80, I began to see signs that she was having some trouble. And that was kind of the beginning of it. But in 82, I hired a home health agency that sent wonderful Nora to be our personal living companion to help me. It is an overwhelming thing. Now, I'm in my day job, I'm a Medicare and long-term care insurance agent. So I've dealt with clients that you know, how to activate their long-term care insurance and start paying for care. But I didn't really get experienced until I actually was caring for my mom. I had a couple positive things. First of all, being in the business, my mom and I had decided years ago that I'd buy a long-term care insurance policy for her, and she also put her legal documents in place, power of attorney, a general power of attorney so I could act on her behalf, a living will, all the different things. We sat down with her attorney before she just started developing dementia. It's a really important thing to do, but it is so daunting. It is overwhelming. You're trying to work, and your mind is at home. There's something called presentism. So you're at your desk trying to work, and either the phone keeps ringing, or your mind is, you can't focus. And then when you're home and caring for somebody, your business is suffering, and you're thinking about your business. So it's very stressful.
Right.
I'm a skinny guy, and I lost 8 pounds when I went to the doctor after we got our caregiver set up, and I figured I better get, you know, a checkup. I had lost 8 pounds, and
let me ask you this. Let's move into the book, because we've only got about 15 minutes left. What lesson do you think the main lesson is that your book put forth to people? And the book, by the way, everyone that's listening, we're on WCHE 1520 AM, and we're talking to Ross Shriftman, and Kevin Jameson. Kevin is with the Dementia Society of America, and Ross has written a screenplay and a book called My Million Dollar Mom. What was the main lesson from the book?
The main lesson is that giving a history of who the person is and how the lessons of life that that person teaches you goes on, and how our family members can inspire us to live a good life and remember them in all the positive things they do, and to take those moments of joy that do occur even when somebody's living with dementia. There are moments when they say something funny or endearing, and that comes across in the book, and hopefully it'll come across in the movie too.
Kevin, how do books like Ross's help to create an awareness not only about your organization but also about caregivers and things? And how many, are there a lot of books out there that you can recommend as well, or that you have on your site that people can get access to?
Yeah, no, thanks. And my wife had dementia as well and passed away a number of years ago. And so I lived that same, you know, caregiver story that Ross did, but with my wife. And so when I listened to Ross explain how he dealt with his mom and cared for her, it really heartens me. I mean, I think I tried to do a lot of the same things that Ross has done and spoken about. And I think, you know, books, poems, music, artistic expressions, plays, and other types of artistic expressions, you know, do play a role with how we deal with and transform some of the emotional pain that comes with having cared for somebody or having somebody that you love that has developed dementia.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of books, a lot of poems, a lot of books, a lot of short movies. There are a number of these things that get done, and we're interested in them because, you know, you can tell a story much differently with a film and in a book, and it does help to reference these, and we encourage these types of efforts because you can identify. It's not just me, that others have gone before me. And when you know that, and it's not too unlike other types of conditions, whether it be cancer, or, you know, diabetes or being in a war, when you can hear stories about other people's experiences and what you're going through now, you can relate to, it really helps you process it and deal with it and accept it.
I want to go back to the comment that Ross made where he lost 8 pounds during the experience of being a caregiver. So, Kevin, how can caregivers be affected long term. I know that I've read some studies where it says caring for someone with dementia is actually harder than caring for someone with a physical disability. And if people want more information, by the way, on caregiving or Alzheimer's or dementia in general, you can go to ALZ.org. There's caregivers on their website, or you can go to DementiaSociety.org, which is Kevin's website. But what are some of the physical things that can happen to someone, or how are caregivers affected in the long term?
So really good point. So if you've ever been on a plane and they talk about oxygen masks falling down from the ceiling, and if you're with somebody that needs help, you put your oxygen mask on first before helping others. And I think that, you know, that's the real key here. And because most all forms of progressive dementia are fatal, they in and of themselves, are what can bring an end to somebody's life, the survivor ends up being the caregiver. So there has been a lot of study and work, whether it's about wartime or caregiving, where, you know, there's a survivor issue that you have to work through, and multiple issues, layers of issues. Were you able to have closure with the person? Were you able to express and exchange love and meaningful, disclosures about how your lives were together?
Mm-hmm.
So the issue is that when it comes to caregiving, there is stress, and there's stress with having to deal with somebody that, you know, is repeating themselves, but it's kind of a playhouse effect, in that you have to kind of go along to get along, unless somebody is going to bring harm to themselves or to others. And no matter how many times a question gets asked, you answer it like it was the first. And that brings on a lot of stress.
Yeah.
Ultimately, though, it transforms into something else. And what it transforms into, typically, if somebody's able to embrace that thinking, it transforms into a fun kind of laugh. You can think it's silly, it's amazing, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's lovely. It doesn't have to be all doom and gloom.
Yep.
And when you
yep.
can change your perspective, mm-hmm. It really does help.
It's funny, my father had, like as I mentioned earlier, Alzheimer's, and when he first got it, he used to say, well, I forget I have it. So that was his sort of way of coping with it. He'd say, well, the good news is I forget I have it. So, and every golf course I go to and I play again is the first time I've played it. So it's I don't have to go to as many courses. Ross, I want to skip to the book, and we're jumping around a little bit here, guys, but there's so much I want to cover. I want to skip to the movie. You wrote the book, and then you decided, hey, writing a book isn't enough. I want to tackle the Hollywood world and write a screenplay, which, had you ever written a screenplay before? Because writing a screenplay is a daunting task.
Oh, yeah. No, I had never done it before. But what happened is, after the book came out, and Kevin mentioned music, I'd be driving down the highway, and a song would come on, and it would kind of remind me of a scene, you know, from my life with my mom. And I thought to myself, boy, that would be great for a scene in a movie. And that's kind of how it started.
Mm-hmm. So you decided, so, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so what happened is I Googled screenwriting software and found Final Draft, which I found later on is kind of the standard bearer. They did a number of webinars, and I hired a script coach, Melody Jackson of Smart Girls Production, and she's been guiding me. And anybody can write a screenplay, but there's a difference between a screenwriter and a great screenwriter, and it's a challenge. There's a lot to it, because it's not only storytelling, it's a blueprint, the dialogue, the way it's formatted. But the other thing is, you can send in your script to contests and reviewers, and it's always a good idea to pay for a review of the script, which gives you an opportunity for somebody to critique it. And you have to be thick-skinned. You can't say, well, you know, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You look at it, and you kind of figure out, you don't want to change your story, but you want to make your story as good as it possibly can. And so our script has gotten as far as semi-finalist in a couple different script-writing contests.
Right.
And not at first, but it took a while.
Where are you in the process of the movie right now?
Well, we're working on getting the funding. We're putting a local Philadelphia team together to lead the project, and we may be making some major decisions pretty soon, including a very important piece of music that goes along with the story that we're very close to an agreement on.
Right.
So in the next week or two, we'll probably be making some major decisions that are going to really uplift right. the whole project and be able to move forward with it.
Rapid fire questions. We have about 3 minutes left. Do you have the movie cast?
I'm sorry?
Do you have the movie cast? I know you've hired a local actress, Patsy Mack.
Oh, the cast. Well, we haven't cast the leads. We do have many supporting actors for important roles. My mother's best friend was a lady named Gladys who was deaf and legally blind. Another important story. The person that is cast for that is Patsy Mack.
Yeah, Patsy Mack's actually been
in American Hustle.
You
interviewed her.
We did.
Wonderful lady, lives in the Hatboro area. We have a gentleman, Joe Lawless, who is playing the governor of Pennsylvania. Not Ed Rendell, but a governor. And Joe's been in movies with Gerard DePardieu and Jacqueline Bisset, and he's local also. So we're most likely going to start auditions for the leads of me and my mom in the next couple weeks.
So getting the money, have the location set, casting the movie, movie gets made, where do you plan to show it?
Well, initially locally with screenings, but there's a potential for worldwide distribution. I have a film consultant too, and we've gotten numbers of what we could get on the international market. Because it's a family story, so it doesn't it's universal. It's a universal story.
I imagine, Kevin, to have a movie like Ross's come out would be a great help to your organization in terms of helping get the word out and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, anything that brings it to the mainstream. You know, it's no different than when you have dementia. If you can live a mainstream life, right? It really helps. Get out to restaurants, get out to movies, travel. So, you know, a movie is a great way with music and with the great acting that I think Ross will have. You know, I think it tells a story in a way that no other medium can. And so we're enthused by you know, the prospect of another movie on
right.
the subject.
So if people want to... Yep, I'm sorry, Ross, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
I was just going to wrap up say that if people want to get to you, Ross, they can go to
sure.
MyMillionDollarMom.com.
Yeah, MyMillionDollarMom.com.
MyMillionDollarMom.com.
They can email me, too, which is MyMillionDollarMom@gmail.com.
Okay, MyMillionDollarMom@gmail.com. You can also go to ALZ.org, and you can also see Kevin's website at DementiaSociety.com. .org. I would urge people to buy the book, My Million Dollar Mom. It's a great book, and it's for sure going to be a great movie. Guys, I want to tell you real quickly about our main sponsor, Eagle Eye Ticket Management. They're based right here in Westchester, Pennsylvania. I've been doing business with Eagle Eye for over 25 years, so if you need tickets to any concerts or sporting events or theater anywhere in the country, they're absolutely your best source, period. They really are a great group of guys. They can get you tickets to anything like the Masters, the Super Bowl, many concerts. There's no additional taxes or service fees. You buy the tickets, that's it. They can email them to you. They can do will call, whatever you want to do. They're fantastic. 484-841-6840. Write this down. 484-841-6840. It's Eagle Eye Ticket Management. Tell them that I sent you. They'll make you a great deal. It's a great organization. We've been speaking to Kevin Jameson of the Dementia Society of America, as well as to Ross Shriftman, whose book, My Million Dollar Mom, is being made into a feature-length film. Guys, really appreciate your sitting in with us on a Saturday morning. It's been very informative. I know everybody's loved it. We've given out ways to get to you. So I appreciate your joining us. We hope to have you back again soon. This is Tom Kramer, and we're finishing up here with the show called Speaking Of on WCHE 1520 AM in Westchester, Pennsylvania. We'll be back next week at 9:30. We'll go till 10 o'clock. We've got lots of great guests coming up, including Pete Blaber, who is a former Delta Force commander. He was head of the operation that looked for Osama bin Laden in the mountains of Tora Bora. So be sure to check that out on the next visit. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you later.